And I'm glad to say that harvesters ain't seen nothing yet. Actually, you guys are on the cusp of something. I've been teaching in church this month about the eagle and how to soar like the eagle, how the eagle prefers to soar than to flap. And that what it does is to wait for a strong enough wind current, especially a storm. And it dives into it and uses the wind current to soar. So I believe that God is sending you a wind. It's going to be a big shift to a new level altogether. So all I'm here to do today is to prepare you. So I'm going to be brief. And Pastor Bolaji tells me that we're going to have the opportunity to ask questions. So I'm going to be brief. I see some massive disruptions coming in our country. Massive disruptions in the political sector, in the economic sector, even church, in the social sector. Massive changes. And what I want to do is to prepare you, because those changes are coming for your lifting. When a storm hits, the interesting thing is that the eagle senses a storm long before people know there's going to be a storm. It picks it intuitively, very sensitive to slight changes in the wind current. And then when the storm hits, while other birds are scampering for safety, the eagle actually dives into the wind. In fact, I've watched videos of that happening. Dives into the wind and uses the strength of the wind current to rise, to soar. So, we have some storms coming, but they are for your lifting. In the face of adversity, some develop wings, others go for crutches, someone said. So those storms will not be your excuse for failure. Because they will be the excuse for many people in this country. Okay? I was watching this video. It was recorded at a studio in the UK. And somebody was holding an eagle, a golden eagle, on his hand. And they had a fan at the other end of the room. And the fan was blowing this strong wind. The wind was traveling at 20 miles per hour. They wanted to know how the eagle adjusts to the wind and how it soars. So they had cameras focused on its wings, cameras focused on its tail. As the wind blew, the eagle stretched out its hand and tilted the feathers. And the tail, the feathers stretched out, in a particular way. And at a point, the person holding the eagle said, at this point, I can't even feel its weight anymore. Because the eagle was riding the strong wind. I'll say this. For you, you don't have a tail. The scientists say that you do. They say it's just four small, tiny bones. That's why we don't see your tail. So congratulations. You also have a tail. Anyway, you don't have a tail like the eagle. What you adjust is internal. It's your attitude. It's your thoughts. It's your visions, your dreams, and your emotions. Okay? There's a posture that you take, and the strong winds lift you up. And there's a posture that you take, they push you down. So, my encouragement here is, whatever it is you do, it may be business, it may even be a non-profit, you need to provide strategic leadership for your organization, whatever it is you are building. And just in case you're not leading an organization yet, you are in one, you need to become strategic. A strategy is a plan that confers on you competitive advantage. A strategy is just simply it's a plan, but not just any plan. It's a plan that confers on you strategic advantage or competitive advantage. In other words, this plan looks at your vision, looks at your objectives or your big goals, and then looks at the resources at your disposal. You don't have all the time to do all the things you want to do. You don't have all the money to do all the things you want to do. You don't have all the connections to do all the things you want to do. And the plan finds a connection between those inadequate resources and what you want to achieve. A strategic plan will help you find the pathway to use the little resources you have to achieve the big dreams and the big visions that you have. You need to be strategic. You need to be futuristic. Because things are changing very fast around us. Very fast. You know, my classic illustration for strategy in the Bible is Luke chapter 19. If you read the first 7 verses or so, the story about Zacchaeus. All of us know the story. The man that wanted to see Jesus, but they said that he had a short stature. So I looked at the story closely and learned a few lessons there. Jesus was moving down on the road to Jericho. And they said there was a crowd that went with him. Then this man came. He was a wealthy man. They said he wanted to see Jesus, but he could not for 2 reasons. Number 1, there was a crowd around Jesus. Number 2, they said he had a short stature. Wow. And it just occurred to me. Whatever it is you want to achieve, the likelihood is you will meet people there. Whatever line of business you want to start, the likelihood is you will meet people there. If it's church you want to start, there are thousands of churches in Lagos already. If it's a business, there are thousands of businesses already. Whatever it is you want to start, you will meet people who arrived before you. Secondly, when you measure yourself against them, you will feel short. You will feel inadequate. You know why? They leveraged their own strengths to become big. They leveraged their strengths to become successful. And their area of strength may not be your area of strength. In fact, it's not likely to be. The areas of talent, the areas of gifts, the individuals are not your own area of strength. So when you measure yourself against them, you feel short, you feel inadequate. And the question then is, how did Zacchaeus deal with this? They said that he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. On the face of it, it looks normal, but it is not. Why should a rich man be running in the afternoon? Why should a wealthy man climb a tree? On a normal day, he should employ people to do those things, isn't it? He ran. But it's not just even the running that impresses me. It's the fact that he got ahead. It's the fact that he sensed the direction in which Jesus and the crowd would move. It dawned on him that he arrived late. Today was created yesterday. I mean, I know all of us are concerned about the political situation in our country right now. You know, and then young people are, you know, shouting, we're not too young to run. We have the not too young to run bill at the National Assembly. They should allow us also to commit. Say, fine. But I guess now we are getting to appreciate the fact that 2018 in Nigeria was constructed in 1966. The current political structure was set in 1966 and it has not changed. Today was created yesterday. So you arrived late. The best time to create tomorrow is today. You may not have control over today, but you have control over tomorrow. Do something about tomorrow. Amen? 10 years' time is being constructed now. 20 years' time is being constructed now. The disruptions that will happen in our country in the next 1 year or 2 years will reset the foundations of this country. What I'm excited about is that you are here. Because you have a portion. You have a place. And you will find it in the name of Jesus Christ. part of my frustration in this country is the fact that the institution that God equipped to be the most strategic is not. And it's the church. The institution that is supposed to be the most strategic. Anyway, Zacchaeus senses the direction in which Jesus and the crowd would go. He runs ahead of everybody. I can't see him today because I arrived late. The people close to him today began to walk with him from yesterday. So he ran ahead to climb the tree. We call that positioning. Not only should you sense the direction in which Nigeria is going, politically, technologically, socially, not only should you sense, you should take a position. Amen? Yeah, you need to take a position. Positioning is critical. There is a place where you can stand and people will not see you. They won't even know that you exist. It was the Holy Spirit that taught me that. Those years, many years ago, when I was teaching, running the entrepreneurial class, like Pastor Bolaji said earlier on. We were preparing for an event. I mean, this was like 15 years ago or so. We printed, this was some 16 or 17 years ago. So we produced 20,000 flyers. 20,000. At that time, 20,000. So I was busy bragging. You know, about the 20,000. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, what are 20,000 flyers in a city of 12 million people? At that time, that was what they told us the population of Lagos was. What are 20,000 flyers in a city of 12 million people? I said. Ah. He said, whatever it is you are doing, he said, I know you saw a large crowd in the vision I gave you. He said, that crowd is sprinkled all over the city. Sprinkled all over the city. He said, whatever you are doing needs to cover the whole city for those sprinkles of people to come together to form the large crowd you see in your church. He said, when you organize your event and people don't show up there, then you pastors will encourage yourselves and say, well, it was the people that God wanted to come that came. He said, you're lying. There are loads of people I wanted to come and they did not show up because they were not aware that anything was happening. He said, your venue is packed with angels because the only thing you did was prayer and fasting. So you informed the whole of the spiritual world that you were having an event. So your venue was packed with angels, but human beings were very few. He said, look at Coca-Cola. They put the advert on TV, put it on radio, put it on billboards. At that time, they were painting signboards of schools and painting kiosks. He said, so people are aware. He said, don't use your spirituality. Don't give your spirituality as excuse for your mediocrity. I said, okay. Oh. All right. Listen. Some of the people that are supposed to patronize you don't even know you exist. Zacchaeus did something. Listen, if Zacchaeus ran ahead and he still stood on the ground, Jesus would still not have seen him. Positioning matters. There's a place where you can stand and opportunities will see you and you will see them. And there's a place where you can stand, opportunities will not see you and you will not see them. If you don't exist in people's minds, you don't exist in their lives. What am I encouraging you to do as a young person, young entrepreneur in this country? Brand yourself. Take your branding seriously. They need to know your name. They need to know the name of your business. And they need to know the value that they stand to derive from that business. Amen. Okay, so what did I do when the Holy Spirit spoke to me? I made an announcement and asked all the people in church that were in the advertising industry to please come for a meeting. So the ones that showed up, you know, I explained to them. I want us to advertise, cover this city with advertising. They said, fine, Pastor. Then one of them said, Pastor, let me ask you a question first. Do you think everybody in this city knows the name Daystar? I said, no. Of course they don't. I said, some of our church members have told me that when they were giving flyers out to people, those people would ask them, which one is this one? What is Daystar? Yeah. So I said, they don't know. So they said, fine. So Pastor, the place to start is not advertising. It is branding. People need to know the name. They need to recognize the logo, okay, or the signs that represent the colors that represent the name, and the value, the benefits they stand to derive from our church. I said, sir, what do you think has been the greatest attraction to this church? What brings people the most? I said, it's the word. My number one gift is the teaching gift. It's the word. They said, fine, can you give us 2 weeks? When they came back in 2 weeks, then they gave me this line, www.daystar.com. The com was C-O-M-E. The word works wonders at Daystar, so come. You know what we did? We just produced that one design, put it on billboards, put it in newspapers every weekend. We were on radio, we were on TV, we printed hundreds of thousands of flyers inviting people. What were we doing? Just branding. They need to know the name. I'm prophesying here today. Because God told Abraham, I will make your name great. I am prophesying here in the name of Jesus Christ as God produces new brands that will shake Africa, new brands that will be recognized globally. I prophesy the power of God will rest on your name. And on every name that you name the organizations that you set up. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Someone say a good amen to that. New brands are evolving. New brands are evolving in the political sector. New brands in the business world. New brands even in church ministry. New families. Amen. Like Abraham's family. When God looks at a man and says, I will make of you a great nation. There are some people I'm looking at right now. You are nations. In the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, so Zacchaeus positions himself where he can be seen. It was not only Jesus that saw him, the whole crowd saw him. Anyway, the beautiful thing about it is, I mean, it took a lot of effort, running, climbing, that investment when nobody was looking. Running when nobody understood, when nobody could see what was chasing him or what he was chasing. So there are some things you need to be doing now that the people around you may not understand. They'll catch it in 5 years' time. There are some skills some of us need to acquire now. There are things we need to start now. There are seeds we need to plant now. There are businesses we need to start now. 5 years from now, 7 years from now, 10 years from now, they will understand. The moment Jesus sighted Zacchaeus, destiny happened. Something was waiting for the two of them seeing each other. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today salvation has come to your house. Let's go to your house. Wow. It was Zacchaeus' turn. Heaven respects principles. Heaven responded to strategic planning and action by Zacchaeus. Heaven respects strategy. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow, the best time to create tomorrow is today. Let me talk about checking the trends. Checking the trends. See, how did I come about teaching entrepreneurship? We were analyzing the needs of church members and of the people that live 5 miles radius from our church. What are their topmost? And poverty came first. The people in church, poverty was number one. The ones outside the church, poverty was number one. So we then asked, okay, so from all the things we've been doing so far, how many things have we done to address the poverty problem? I checked the messages I had been preaching. The only thing I had thought about finances was giving. I explored giving, man. What to give, what not to give, how to give, how not to give, where to give, where not to give, who to give to, who not to give to. I had explored all of that in my teachings. The only thing was that most of the people in the church did not have money. So when I sat down now strategically to look at it, I said, Lord, these people don't have money. I don't think this giving thing is the first thing to teach. Is there anything in the Bible I can teach them that will help them to get the money in the first place? So he began to give me revelations. Until eventually I saw the revelation on business. That Abraham was a businessman. Isaac was a businessman. Jacob was a businessman. I said, wow. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of entrepreneurs. Jesus was a businessman till he was 30. Most of his illustrations were from the business world. In fact, when he picked his disciples, he didn't pick them from the Bible school of his day. He picked them from the business world. And from their employment. So I began to teach entrepreneurship. I saw the future of our country. Being someone that has been passionate about Nigeria developing since I was a teenager. And since I gave my life to Christ, I've been part of all kinds of prayer meetings for this country. So, somebody was saying to me some months back, we need to pray. The problem is we're not praying. I said, pray. You know what? I've been part of prayer meetings for 33 straight years. So, give me another strategy. That one is already there. Add another one. Okay. So, I just saw it. When the economy will change, there will be a boom in businesses. The reason why I was teaching entrepreneurship was to position our people ahead, like Zacchaeus. When the country would arrive at that point, the country will meet them, ready to provide the products and services that the country will need on a massive scale. Amen. And I'm here to prepare someone. Your season is just around the corner. Amen. Something will break soon. Amen. And it will break in your favor. Amen. If you believe that with me, say amen. Amen. So check the trends. Check the political trends. Check what's happening in technology with respect to technology. Check, okay? Just try and scan 5 years ahead. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. That makes us, gives us capacity to sense the future and capacity to prepare for it. So, if you are running a business already, let me close on this. If you are running a business already, delegate operations as much as possible so you can focus on strategy. The future of your business depends on it. In Acts chapter 6, they said there was murmuring among some people. The food, distribution of food was not going around. When they came to the apostles, the first thing the apostles said in Acts 6 verse 2 was, it does not make sense for us to leave the word of God to serve tables. Then they said, let's look for people to appoint to take charge of the distribution. Said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What were they saying? We will not leave strategy to run operations. We have to keep praying and we have to keep sensing the next level. Vision is the heart of a leader. Bill Hybels says, you take vision from a leader, it's like cutting the heart out of the leader. You have to sense where things are going. You can't afford to be reacting. You have to be proactive. So when God says to Israel through Moses in Deuteronomy 28 verse 13, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will be above, only you will not be beneath. Why didn't they ask him, what do you mean? Everybody understood Moses was using a cow for illustration. The head is always in front. The tail is always at the back. Am I right? Where the head goes, that's where the whole body goes. The head, that's where you have the eyes. And the head, that's where you have the brain. That's where the thinking happens. That's where the decision happens. Decision making happens. When God says you will be the head, he is simply saying you will be part of the people that take the initiative in the society. Tail. They don't make decisions in detail. Tail is not part of decision. They drag tail about. The church was never designed to tail the society. The church was never designed to be a reactive force. How come when we say, you know, God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's amazing. The perception or the impression that the average Christian has in mind is that the church will sit there like a sitting duck and hell will come. The gates of hell will come and attack the church and will not be able to prevail against the church. What a docile idea of a church. What a complacent idea of a church. That's not what Jesus had in mind. Gates don't move around. The church is the assault force. It's the church that should take the proactive action. The society, we should drag the society around like tail. In every sector that shapes culture, God is raising people here to make major influences. In the entertainment industry, there are people here. You will be major controllers, major influencers. In sports, there are people here. That's where you will make your money. And you don't have to be a sports person to own a sports club. Am I right? The opportunities are going to open. In the health sector, it's going to happen. In the media, it's going to open. Educational sector, it's going to open. The environment is going to change and be a bit more conducive. And like an eagle, in the midst of the storm, while the country is trying to find its feet, you will rise. One major shift in your industry will launch you into your billions. Did I hear you say a good amen to that? One major shift, just one job, just one invitation. The government running into crisis in one area, the society running into crisis in one area, will launch you to start up. For David, it was one Goliath. Just one Goliath. I pray in the name of Jesus that your prayer will not be ordinary anymore. Heaven will invade your prayer time. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes. He said he will show you things to come. I pray in Jesus' name, before change happens, you will know it. You will position your business in the direction in which everything will go. When Jesus said, Zacchaeus, let's go to your house, the Bible says the people around began to complain. Why should it be Zacchaeus? Where was he all this while? We've been following Jesus for 3 years. Let me warn you, your success will be so big, people will envy you. They will wonder where you showed up from. They won't know you broke through in the spirit before you broke through in the physical. I declare today the turning point for someone here. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, this is the reference point. Somebody here will wake up tomorrow morning. The first voice you will hear will be the voice of the Holy Spirit. Someone will have a dream tonight. You will see something new. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Can you get my phone? Yes. Time is, we're on time because we want to go into the main session. This is for business people. Quickly, can we have 5 questions? You have 2 options. You can write them down or send it to our Twitter account or Instagram account. They'll put it on the screen just now. So if you want to send it, Harvesters Lekki is our, you know. You want to give another? Okay, yes, sir. This is the one that she used. So we're going to. So if you already follow me on Instagram, my Instagram handle is BolajiID. If it's the church, okay, that's all. So you can send to Harvesters Lekki, Facebook, Instagram, to everything. If it's mine, if it's Pastor G's, it's right there. Okay, Pastor G's phone is not accessible right now, though. Oh, is it accessible? Okay, it is. So just quickly type the questions and let's go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Was that very insightful?
Yeah.
And some of you brought a point of contact. And let me say something there. It's not just a training or a teaching. It's prophetic. So prophetic means that it's the thing that will happen just now. It's the thing you have to do. You know, today I got someone to understand how the prophetic work, the way he explained it, very powerful. He said, in the realm of the spirits, there are pictures. It's full of pictures of probabilities. He said, prophecy brings it into the natural realm. I said, wow. Because it's like a programming. So, it's there. But what will be your portion is what you see and what you pursue. So, there are possibilities, there are probabilities in the spirit. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. All right. My money. Okay, yes. Let's go. I think I should have some questions by now. Reverend, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Yes, so the first question is, how do you balance taking initiative and waiting on God as a businessman? How do you balance taking initiative and waiting on God?
Okay, good one. For a Christian businessman, it's not either or. You take action after God has spoken. That's what's going to make you distinct business-wise. Many years ago, you know, I was saying, Lord, we were running 5 services then at our former location, and I was saying, Lord, we stagnated. We're not making progress. We're not moving. We should be out of here. You know, I can feel what you're going through, right? Yeah. We were running 5 services. It had been a while. The whole place was packed out. Before we were 30 minutes into a service, the outside was packed out. The queue was from front to back. People waiting to go. So I was saying, Lord, we need to move from here. What's the next level? We're stagnated. I said, we're not making progress. The first thing he said to me was, your definition of progress is different from mine. For you, progress is always forward motion. He said, but to me, progress is for you to do whatever I ask you to do per time, including standing on the same spot. So I repented. I said, thank you, Lord. We're making progress. So it was a few days later, I was studying, and I saw it in Numbers 9. The cloud led Israel in the wilderness. And the Bible says there, when the cloud stopped, they stopped. When it moved, they moved. And that sometimes it stopped just overnight in one spot and moved. So they stopped overnight. But then he says sometimes they stopped for 2 days. Then he said sometimes 1 week. Then he said sometimes 1 month. I said, ah. Then he said sometimes 1 year. Ah! 1 year. What explanation would Moses have for people? Until you hear a new instruction, continue with the last one. So let me tell you how important strategy is for us as spiritual people. Okay? Ahithophel used to advise David, King David, on strategy. As long as Ahithophel advised him, David never lost a single battle. When you hear David never lost a battle, there were reasons why. One of it was there was a strategist on his team. They said when he spoke, it was like the counsel of God. It was like God himself spoke. When Absalom rebelled, Ahithophel went to Absalom. David had to do a special prayer. Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to naught, or else he knew he was a dead man. That's how powerful strategy can be, and a strategist can be on your team. So I want to say, and you know what happened? Then David had to send Hushai. So when I've taken care of it, I love what Pastor Bolaji said earlier on. There's a spiritual leg, there's a physical leg. David prayed. It was taken care of spiritually. Then he sent Hushai to be present. So he said, whenever Ahithophel gives his advice, give a counter advice so that the breakthrough God has given me in the spirit can find physical expression. So when Ahithophel gave the counsel, Hushai spoke for the first time ever. Absalom didn't take Ahithophel's advice. He took Hushai's advice. You know what Ahithophel did? He went straight back home and committed suicide. Why? Because strategy for him was a gift. He could see the future. He knew they were already dead. Instead of waiting for that death, he went home and cuckoo died. So, as a Christian, don't let your decisions in business be chance or luck. Wait for God. Because you can be absolutely certain when it is the Spirit of God leading you, it will work out. Let me leave it at that.
Another question. Thank you, sir. If you write your question, you can send it through the ushers. Another question is, how do you deal with failure in business? You've tried, it didn't work. How do you deal with failure?
Oh, love them. How do you do business without failing? It's a normal part of the process. If you see anyone that has succeeded extraordinarily in business, they have failed extraordinarily.
Sir, there's a teaching in the body of Christ.
Yep.
That says, if you are really led of God, your plan is failure proof.
Yes.
That if God is in it, mm-hmm. if you fail, God is not in it. So that's the problem we face here. So once I fail, I say, then God is not in it.
That's a good point there. If the plan is from God, see, the plan is failure proof. The person executing the plan is not failure proof. I mean, in Acts chapter 16, Paul was trying to find out the will of God, where to go. He knew he was supposed to go preach somewhere. The Bible says there that he tried to go to Asia. The Holy Spirit forbid him. He tried to go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit forbid him. Apostle Paul, that wrote half of the New Testament, was trying, and then he said, the Holy Spirit forbid him. Holy Spirit, why were you forbidding? Why didn't you just tell him where to go? Then they said, they went down to Troas, and it was at Troas that he slept and had a dream in the night, and then he saw a man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Amazing. So sometimes the problem is just simply that where you are, you won't hear anything there. You have to get moving first, okay?
You have to try something.
Yes. And then, Ralph Mahoney, I read a book many years ago, Ralph Mahoney. It was a book on leadership. And he was explaining on divine guidance. He said there's what you call objective leading and there's subjective leading. He said, we Pentecostals, the one we practice the most is the subjective one. Because it's inside you. Nobody was there. Nobody had it with you. And you say, God told me. The evangelicals do more of objective leading. They pray and expect God to show the direction they're supposed to go through circumstances. See? That's objective leading. And Ralph Mahoney said, it's a balance of the two that is best for you. So he spoke about a pastor that announced to his church, he got a revelation. God said they should go do an outreach on an island. Pastor raised funds, got volunteers to go with them, and then they flew, landed at an island, close to that island, then they got on a boat. As they were moving, then the boatman asked them, what are you guys going to do on the island? And they said, we're going to hold a massive crusade there. God told us to go there to hold a massive crusade. Souls will be saved. The guy said, hey. But there's nobody living on that island. So, did God want them to do a crusade? I think so. Did they get the location right? Obviously not. If they had sent someone to go there first to check, it will have helped them to pray again to check the thing. Jesus opened somebody's eye, asked him, what can you see? The man said, I see men like trees. I think it's human beings, but it's trees that I'm seeing. Then Jesus touched him the second time. Then he saw clearly. Sometimes you need a second touch for your vision to be clear. It's not God's fault. It's a human being.
In your development and leadership and growth, what are the three things, either paradigms, either behavior, either mindset that you have to absorb to help you?
Well, first, I've had a few experiences. In fact, I'll be sharing some of my stories, you know, at the main session. But I think the first thing is brokenness and walking in covenant with God. That's pretty much what I'll be discussing later this evening. I found out I was an ideas person. I always have ideas. I have plans. I have calculations. I do analysis. And then when I started facing real life, life messed up my analysis, messed up the plans, and I became frustrated until, you know, God got me to the place where, and he did that several times, but he got me to the place where I had to abandon my plans, abandon the schemes, and just submit to him. During my youth service, I was planning to go do a master's program in civil engineering in the U.S. That was my foolproof plan. I had the brochures from the schools. And one day I was praying. I was in Kano State then. I was praying. And the Lord said, you're not going anywhere. I want to use you in this country. It was clear. I said, eh. So I took the beautiful brochures I was looking at and decided to throw them away. So I threw them under the bed. Looking back now, I realize what I was trying to do with God was what Hausa people call wayo. If you want to throw it away, throw it in the garbage. Thank you, in the dustbin. The one you throw under the bed, in other words, it should not go too far. So that's it. Some of us die to the flesh, die to our ability, but we don't allow our lives to go away too far so that when what we expect God to do is not working on time, we can take our lives again, okay? So I learned to trust God and depend absolutely on him. I've learned to redefine success. Because when I started out, my aspiration, I suffered in this country, so my picture of success was you have the cars, you have the houses, you have the money, you can go anywhere you want in the world. Hey, hey. But somewhere along the line, God made me realize the highest level of success is not what you acquire for yourself. It's helping other people to succeed. It's amazing. It's not getting. It's giving. Maybe one other one that I will add is when I was praying for God to grow the church. I got frustrated and was now saying, Lord, what I saw in the Bible, it said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So that means you are the one that brings people to church. Why aren't you bringing people to church? Bring people to this church. Let it grow. Then he asked me a question. Why do you want the church to grow? I thought that was a funny question. I thought he wanted the church to grow. So I didn't answer his question. Because I've learned when he asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. Usually, it's because he wants to confront you with your stupidity. So, and I sensed he was about to do that for me. So he said, I know why you want the church to grow. You want to be more comfortable. I want the church to grow, but that's not why I want the church to grow. I didn't build that church for you. It's not for to make you comfortable. I raised that church because of those people that I sent to you. He said, until you help them to succeed, you will not find the definition of success for your ministry. It was a paradigm shifter for me. And I want to say too, even for the person in business, that if your focus is on money, if your focus is on what to get, if your focus is on survival, you will fly very low in business. If it is to make a big difference, you will find God there. Because for each person that you employ, especially in Nigeria, you are sustaining 5 to 20 people. If you think in terms of that, if you think in terms of the fact that when you employ one person, you are providing a roof over the head of a whole family. You are making it possible for them to pay children's school fees so some kids can get some education. If you think in terms of that, there will be no limit to which God will lift you and bless you and prosper you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, Reverend, I want us to close and I want us to pray. I want to please pray just for the business before we go to the main session. And I just, maybe two categories of prayer. There are people here that want to start out, or they're in the early stages and things are tough. And there are people here that are starting out, but they can scale up. There can be an explosion. 2018
can that be? Can be that year where there was a leap, where there was, they just took off like the eagle. They just took off like the eagle. And if you're hearing me, this is what I want to believe God for, as Reverend prays for you. Will you, can we stand to our feet, sir? And if you have like things to identify, like a gold notebook, you have like a complimentary card, you have like a tool, something, you know, if you have it here, if you don't have it, it's okay. If you have it, you can just hold on to it and let's use them as a point of contact.
Thank you, Lord. I had a chat with a young man yesterday, one of those that was listening to me 12, 13, 14 years ago when I was teaching entrepreneurial in class on Sunday morning. And he said, our target last year was 4.5 billion. We made 6 billion. He said, but the first time I crossed 1 billion, he said, it was a prophecy you said in church. He said, I see billions. He said, on that day you were saying, it was a Sunday, you were saying, I see billions. The Holy Spirit is telling me billions, that some people are making their first billion now. And he said, he thought where he was sitting, and he just couldn't comprehend it. And he said, so he was thinking, I'm not sure. He said, then I spoke. Some of you are saying right now that I don't know how this is going to happen. This is, I don't analyze it. I'm speaking prophetically. In the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy by the Spirit of God. Each person here is not here by accident. Whichever way you came, the Spirit of God made you to be here at this point in time. Paul the Apostle said, according to the grace that was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. So there's grace for starting. Grace for laying the foundation. I prophesy on you grace. Everyone about to start, everyone that has started already a venture, I prophesy the heavens open over you. I prophesy on you today a transfer of supernatural authority. As one that God has given authority in this nation, I receive a transfer of authority to you now. Amen. Receive power. Amen. To displace territorial spirits. Amen. Receive authority over cities. Amen. And over nations. Amen. Every city to which God has called you to operate, I declare the spiritual configuration changes for your sake now. Amen. I stand with you to declare the powers of hell are destroyed. Occultic power is destroyed for your sake. The disciples of Jesus said, Master, even the devils were subject to us in your name. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I give you authority to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I declare that I see Satan fall as lightning for your sake. Territorial spirits displaced for your sake. When you live here, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, you will see like you never saw before. Amen. Receive new visions, new dreams, a new dimension of boldness. And I declare in the name of Jesus, as you take steps in obedience to the Holy Spirit, where you spoke and nothing happened before, you will speak now. The powers of hell will be destroyed. Wherever you show up, demonic activities will be paralyzed. Someone here takes over a whole industry. Someone here takes over a whole city. Someone here takes over a whole nation. And this grace works for you on a global dimension. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive grace to break down every barrier. Shatter every ceiling. Occultic powers are destroyed. Old covenants are finished for your sake. And for someone here, I declare the cycle of failure is broken. From here on, your story changes. And now in Jesus' name, I prophesy grace for multiplication. Grace for multiplication. This year, in the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy multiplication. On your business. Someone who never made a million before, you will see 1 million in your account. The person that saw one will see 10. The one that saw 10 before will see 100. The one that saw 100 will see 1 billion. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy by the covenant in the blood of Christ, you enjoy perfect health and divine protection. In Jesus' name, amen.